GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
I think it's worth, if it is the last time we see Cora in a Mayo jersey, James, you'd understand better than most her contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. You just need to listen to her there, and you can understand why she's been so successful for so long. The drive, you can just sense it off her, how she tries to improve. But some of the stuff Cora's done over the last number of years, a lot of people mightn't be aware of, the scoring rate, the success she had. I don't know if there's ever been a higher score in the history of the GAA. On a consistent basis, in games. I mean, it's off the charts, some of the stuff she's done. So, absolutely phenomenal. And you know, as you were saying, the ladies' game was young when Cora started. But what Cora as a role model has done for ladies' football is simply phenomenal.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So this is the final part of the show. This is where we're going to get your final thoughts on what's going to happen, what Tyrone might have to do to win. Leon, obviously, Boyle Sports are show sponsors. I'm curious to know, what's the market saying? Like, what are people saying is the gap here?
Look, it's no surprise, Joe. Dublin are very, very strong favourites to win four in a row. 1-6 at the moment. So you've got to put on 6 just to win one. But most people are looking at the handicap betting when the two teams made it through to the final. It is at the moment. Tyrone +6. But Tyrone were getting +8. When we first put up the handicap spread. So people have back their own +8 and +7. It's a very big start in an All-Ireland final, even 6 points at the moment. Dublin probably deserve to be a short price favourite in terms of what they do, and they keep just performing and getting over the line in the big games. But it's never easy to win an All-Ireland. And I think this Dublin team, I suppose the hunger they still have to get four in a row has been remarkable. But Tyrone will come here, and I hope they give them a game. I think everyone who loves Gaelic football wants to see a more exciting game than we've seen so far. But Tyrone +6, people still backing it. But I think no Dublin player will care about the handicap as long as they win four in a row.
No, I wouldn't think so. So we've plenty of acumen here to try and figure out what Tyrone have to do. You've all touched on this point that Dublin, and it's a credit to Jim Gavin, are changing at the moment, and they almost have taken chance out of the game. It's possession-based, it's methodical, it's controlled. They almost pick up the game and hang on to it by the back of the neck. There was a great stat, Eamon Donoghue in the Times today had a brilliant piece, and he was saying, not once all year have Dublin even attempted a shot from outside the 45 in any game. So what Gavin is doing quietly is really another kind of revolution. It's the next step. Jim, it's really impressive. I mean, I'm going to ask you how you stop it, but I think it's worth you saying, like, again, Gavin not getting the credit. It is bloody impressive what he's managing to do with this team.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, winning games of football at intercounty level is no easy task. And regardless, you know, of the quality within the squad, not just the players, but within the squad you have, you still have to get the fitness right. You've got to get the tactics right. You've got to get the mentality right. You know, you've got to have the game plan nailed down, and you've got to, you know, deliver on the big day under the lights. So it's absolutely incredible. I think it'll only be further down the line, maybe when Jim has left the position, that people will understand fully what's happening now. But I think you're right, and I think they have changed. They are changing, and they're evolving, and they have become much more possession-based, and that's making them much more difficult to beat.
Yeah.
The chance has gone out of the game. You kick the ball's 50-50, you get out in front of your man, you have a chance of knocking the ball away, you have a chance of winning the ball. That is almost eradicated from their game. Most of the balls now are ran up the field. You know, Jack O'Connor, I think, was the first coach to introduce this. A huge amount of hand passing to a certain point, then a dink ball, always guys close to goal, runners dink it into him, runners off the shoulder, tap it over the bar, carry one. A number of All-Irelands doing that, but Dublin have taken that to another level now in terms of keeping the ball, and teams are sitting in and they're just basically saying, listen, you're going to sit in, we're not going in there, we're going to keep the ball and we're going to be methodical. And if it's not perfect, if the offence is not perfect, they're coming back out, they're switching the play, getting it to a runner that can inject pace, and then they're going to start all over again. So the problem is for all the teams that are out there, not just this year, but for the next number of years, is you can't get pressure on the ball.
Right.
You can't get a hand on the ball. You can't get a turnover. And Tyrone, if they're going to win at the weekend, they have to turn the ball over because their game is based on the transition. And people are talking about sort of going man to man and stuff. I don't see that happening. I don't see how Tyrone can flick a switch, you know, and play a certain way all year and then flick a switch and go in a different direction. You spoke about it, Kieran, earlier, that you changed tactics in the lead into your All-Ireland final, and everybody's now expecting Tyrone to play like Mayo under James Horan or anybody else. That I don't think that's going to happen. So you have a situation where, for me, they're going to have to stick to their guns and they're going to have to do what they have been doing, but they're going to have to pick their fights. And for me, the first fight they've got to pick is Stephen Cluxton. They have to find a way to knock him off kilter. And if they can find a way to do that, and he's looking out, and where's the ball going, and he's getting frustrated, then Tyrone in a really good place. Because all things being equal, if Tyrone defend brilliantly and Dublin retain the ball brilliantly, it's going to come down to kickouts. And Dublin have a massive advantage. That stat, you know, the two that they won two against Monaghan, that will be replicated on Sunday. Like, yeah. We took them on in 2014 when we beat them, and we really took them on with everything we had. We won three kickouts,
right?
You know, but we got a goal and a point, 2 points from that, and we created sort of some consternation. And that's the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to get them moving in a direction that they haven't been moving in all year. And at the minute, it's too smooth, it's too silky, it's running through the gears, and all of that is coming from the fact that people just can't get their hands on the ball.
I guess the reason, Kieran, people don't do what Jim is advocating is because they fear if they don't win it in that initial press and Tyrone get in behind them and up the field, then there's big trouble then, so there must be a temptation to drop back a little bit. What would you do if you were managing against them on Sunday with Cluxton? Would you really go after him, or would you be tempted to kind of say, here, let's mind the house?
Well, look, it depends. Look, what your game plan off those kickouts is. Like, and if you look at Dublin, they're going to have certain triggers for all their kickouts. Like, if Dublin lose the ball on the counter attack, all 15 drop to the halfway line. Once they're taking a scoreable free kick, you'll see like Rock sitting up, but they're already sitting up for the kickout going again. So,
yeah.
Like, Mickey will have looked at all of those things, like, and try to counteract it, but in the same way keep his own game plan. Because like, I felt the last year when they played them, I watched the footage from behind the goals for the first 15 or 20 minutes, and it's just tit for tat, but like, the biggest thing that struck me was Dublin's discipline. There was gaps there for them to go in, and that's what Tyrone do. They open gaps up, and they say, come on in, we're not going to tackle you, and you go down those tunnels, and the next thing, they get you. And Dublin just kept going around and around, and that to me is to try and break that discipline of Dublin's.
Okay.
There's a great like, clip of was a Scully coming down with the ball, and he looks up at Dean Rock, inside against Galway, and Dean puts the hand up straight away as if to say, no, don't kick it. Even though he's out in front, but he sees there's two fellas left and right of him. If he gets the ball, there's going to be three. And Rock just turns around and goes back, and Dublin take the ball back around.
Nice.
So for me, it's going to be, how do you break Dublin's discipline? Like, how do you break their discipline and holding on to the ball? And probably that can be done in the middle third. I know people disagree with me, but you're allowed to tackle harder there. You're allowed to hit harder. You're allowed to weigh it more. And if you're going to try and break their discipline, it's going to be in the tackle. But the thing goes against that, like the legs, people don't sort of see it, but like Kilkenny, Scully, those sorts of fellas, they're a bit like brick houses. Like, you know, they're tough to take them on that physical challenge.
Yeah.
And to do that, to disrupt their play and their discipline, and to make them, what do you call it, like under pressure, is going to be like a challenge for Tyrone, because their defence is set up from nearly 65 metres in, and if they're willing to push out that 10 or 15 metres, I don't think they'll change that much.
Mm.
I'm probably more interested to see what Jim is going to do with Colm Kavanagh, because nobody's done anything with him this year, like, to date. Like, and I'd like to see that. So I suppose the long answer is I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
We tried with Tyrone. We, like, you know, like with Dublin, we haven't come up against them. We played them in a very infamous challenge game and stuff like that. Like, but I think like Dublin has an aura already, and that was one thing that probably Jim and James brought to their teams. Both of them were well capable of beating them, and they felt that. Like, you look at me over the last couple of years, like, leaving the game out here, that like Dublin needed two own goals to stay in the game against Mayo. Like, and people still say they're that far ahead of everybody else, but they're not. But the thing for me is, like, you know, Peter touched on it earlier on, is their incredible drive to go to that last minute.
Yeah.
Like, when they were there to be broken, they fought harder. You know, and, like, you know, there's that old adage of, like, you know, like, you know, like, sort of fire in the belly and head in the fridge. But if you can constantly get your team to play like they're 1 point behind rather than 1 point in front, you really have a team that's special. Like,
yeah.
And I think he's managed that.
James, just pretend for a second you're in a job interview soon and they say, what's your plan to beat Dublin? What might you say in that job interview?
Every time you ask me a question, they're freaking clapping you, Joe. Sorry, repeat it, because, you know, I couldn't hear with the clapping. Go on.
Sorry, what do you do when you're managing Mayo next year?
What would I do for playing Dublin?
Yeah. And crucially, sorry, if you had Tyrone's players, because we can all dream up perfect tactics. Like, if you're Mickey Hart and you've got his chess pieces, what can you do?
Yeah, firstly, what I'd say about Dublin is they're so skilled. They're so skillful. Who let the Dubs in? They're so skillful. They're a brilliant, absolutely brilliant team.
Yeah.
But their skill execution under whatever circumstances, pressure, I mean, from hand passing to foot passing to whatever, they're at a different level, I think, to any other team at the moment. So the amount of work that they do on their skills, and people, you know, are mentioning resources, they're mentioning this, they're mentioning that, they have everything and all the fund and all that. But those players work so hard on their skills and they're so good at the basics of the game that to have that, the environment or the setup and the attitude to do that year in, year out, try and get better on that, I think that's where the magic is with Dublin. Not how many players they have. They're phenomenal. And then when you see Bernard Brogan, Paul Flynn, Michael Darren McCauley, after all the All-Irelands that they've won, again, the environment, the enthusiasm, and desire, like, is it 24 weeks, Bernard Brogan, the cruciate?
Yeah.
How many All-Irelands has he?
Kieran McGinney doesn't even have a cruciate.
Yeah. Okay. But do you know the point I'm making? To come back
of course.
And to have that, I think it's phenomenal.
But isn't that because Flynn, and I'd say Brogan in particular, like, had twins this year, it's unbelievable. They know it's five in a row. Like, that is what they're a part of now. I'd say internally they are talking about it.
Yeah, sure, that's probably in their mind. But, you know, the work they've put in every single time, you know, in every single game and every single year.
No, sure.
It's just there. So it's magic what they have. And I'm a huge fan of them. I think they play brilliant, brilliant football. But again, Jim is right. The way they're playing has changed this year. They've evolved every year. They're not the swashbuckling sort of team that they used to be a couple of years ago. So to me, it's fairly clear that they have Stephen Cluxton and they have, you know, the kick-out strategy and all that kind of stuff you need to do. But, you know, Brian Fenton and Jack McCaffrey's pace, you need to have someone cutting across in case he gets all that kind of stuff you need to do. But Kieran Kilkenny, I feel every time Dublin attack now, and the majority of teams drop off against Dublin because, oh my God, if they come at it with pace, what, you know, there's goal chances. So they're on the hind foot straight away. But Kieran Kilkenny is coming out taking huge percentages of ball every time they attack. What's happening is they're spreading out. You see Dean Rock on the, you know, on the sideline all the time. Niall Scully's away over this side, and it's almost like you see in basketball. There's almost a sign, and everyone's into their sequence, everyone's into their method of play, everyone knows what's going on, blah blah blah. So that's what I'd go after, is Kieran Kilkenny and his role and the influence that he's having on the game. Because he's done it so often and so much now. So if you can really target that one, who else is going to be the Dublin player that's going to have the influence that he'd have? Is there someone, you know, it might shake them just that little bit.
Yeah.
So that's where I'd sort of target first, try and go after that.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting you say that, because Jim, you said, I've got two plans to beat Dublin, and people might be interested. So one, you said 15 behind the ball, go all out and see what happens.
That's wrong.
Is it?
That's wrong.
Okay.
So you need to, if you're going to put things out in the media, you need to put it out properly.
Okay, 15 right. Men, get them behind the ball in defence. I have what you said.
You're quoting Joe Brawley now, I think.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm quoting you. Trust me.
No, I
wouldn't do that to you. You have two. Was one of them, I have it here, what you wrote.
I write in the Times, yeah. And we try to be analytical in the Times. Not sensationalist. Okay?
Yeah.
So, what I said was that isn't on that piece of paper, I would bet. What I said was, you bring 15 players behind the ball anymore, to me that game plan's redundant. That's what I said.
Can I quote you?
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second. right? I'm not. The game plan, in my mind, that hasn't been implemented against Dublin, that needs to be implemented against Dublin. Mm. I think, going back to James, there's two strands. I agree with you. Kieran Kilkenny has to be man-marked. Take 11 behind the ball.
Can I just jump in for one second? I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Right,
I have that here too.
Go ahead.
Right? What you did say about 15 behind the ball, you did say, I think that tactic has become redundant. It no longer overwhelms the opposition or forces turnovers because teams no longer bring the ball into the heart of it. However, you said still, it could have a place in this All-Ireland final. Yeah. And you talked about psychologically it could rattle.
Now, what I'm saying is, if Tyrone decide that's what they're going to do, if they decide that's what they're going to do, then there's a way of doing it. And if they decide that they're only going to get bodies back, wait for Dublin to keep the ball, and then somebody decides they're going to bite and take the bait and squeeze out, and then another guy decides he's going to bite and take the bait, they'll find the space. The runner will get into the space. They'll flick it over your head. They'll make an incision. They'll kick the ball over the bar. So for me, that game plan's redundant. That was the point I was making in the article. So that's out of context.
Fair enough.
In my
fair
mind,
point.
That's out of context.
Happy to clear that up. So your other point is 11 players and then another four.
So the other thing, Kieran Kilkenny is running the show. That is a fact. He's running the show. And so you've got to stop him. But how do you stop him if, when they decide they're going to come in and they go back out again and there's nobody there to put pressure on them? So I think the only other tactic that isn't being employed at the moment in the game is to have 11 behind the ball,
yeah,
four along the halfway line. So when Dublin decide to go in and the offense isn't perfect and they decide to come back out, they come back out to your guys in pressure as opposed to their own guys under no pressure. And so when they decide we're going to come back out, it's not perfect, we're going to switch the play, they're going to be getting it like that from behind, and then you can also push out on them. So you're squeezing them from both sides. And that's why Dublin have 90% possession when they've got the ball now. They're not coughing it up.
Yeah.
How would they cough it up? As soon as it's not perfect, they go back out into what I call no man's land,
yeah,
between the 45 and the 65. And so for me, that would be one dynamic. We done a similar take on that against Monaghan in the 2014 final and the Ulster final, where we had three full forwards on the halfway line. And then when they decided they were going to rotate the ball and put the ball in Kieran Hughes' hand, we pushed them from behind. And we stole the ball once or twice. And what happens is then, all these playmakers for Dublin that have the game 100% in front of them on Sunday, because they're just thinking about, how do I break this down, not what's coming behind me. And all of a sudden, they get that bit of pressure from behind, and then they're thinking this way, they're thinking that way, and that, like picking your fights, you've got to knock them off course,
yeah,
in order to get them to where you need to get them.
And you haven't seen that happen to them just yet, like
it's
that.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't see anybody being able to bring that level in terms of getting that pressure on the ball.
So Tyrone can't do that either.
No, I think it's all up for grabs. Keith's right. All Ireland finals are there to be won, but they've got to get their tactics 100% switched on, spot on the day, and it has to be something we haven't seen before, because the same old is going to be a 7 or 8 point victory.
Yeah, Corey, you're nodding your head at that. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I can't see anything but a Dublin win, Dublin by six or more. I think with Jim's question, can they maintain something like that, though, for 75, 76, 77 minutes?
Tyrone?
Yeah, Tyrone, if they were to do play that system of 11 behind the ball. And
to be fair to them, it was the bench that beat us in Balbuffet. You know, their bench rolled in Balbuffet, and yeah, they were the guys that made the difference. So I think they have young players that, as Peter said, they're inexperienced, but they definitely have got a lot of legs. So
Peter,
I think,
did he not swap that for the Monaghan game, though?
Pardon?
Did he swap that for the Monaghan game? Then, like, against Hughes, he probably played a more workmanlike team for the first 50 minutes, and then he brought on Lee Brennan and McGeary and those fellas. But then against Monaghan, he started, yeah, with those. Mm.
And it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah. So Andy brought them on too early.
Well, they started with Lee Brennan and McGeary, and then, like, when the what people regard as the more talented players to start with, and then sort of more workmanlike players to come on near the end. And, like, you know, by all accounts, like, you know, you could argue that Monaghan, like, had the better chances to win that game. So he may change that again. But things can change, you know, like, in that first 10 or 15 minutes, like, if they can get a rattle at them,
yeah,
and get something. Like, that's Conor Callaghan's side. That nobody, the piece of skill that Callaghan's showed to score that goal in that first 15 minutes when it was tit for tat was like a special piece of football. Like, when you watch it from behind the goals, the ball could have broke either way. If it broke the other way, Tyrone were away because Dublin had pressed up on them and they had counted on that, and Tyrone were gone. And, like, at that stage, nobody got in 17 points or something of Tyrone. Mm. But O'Callaghan got it on the break, sidestep, beautiful sidestep. I don't know who he went past. took it on and back of the net, and you could see that just rattled a younger Tyrone team. And you just wonder if Tyrone could maybe like get a start and rattle and try and do that pressure, because they put that pressure on at the end. But maybe just going back to Keith's point, like maybe taking the chance to go for like the juggler at the start, because that, to have the players on the counter to do it. You know, you've seen Enda Smith here, like one bad move against Roscommon. Roscommon, I think, were 4 points up.
Yeah.
One bad, bang. We done the same last year in the quarterfinal, tit for tat for the first 5 minutes. One bad mistake with Jamie, bang. You know, they're good at it. And I think they can catch Dublin, but if they don't catch them with one of those, they could struggle.
I think the thing I was saying about pick your fights, that pushing up aggressively, that's high risk, because he can go over the press. The ball's one more kick and it's in the back of the net. So that's high risk.
Yeah.
Defending with 11 against this Dublin team is high risk, because you're going to concede more points than you normally would probably. But the ones that you do win and you do turn over, you've got the guys on the 65, you can transition quicker, you've got the link players,
Fair point.
Of a sudden you could maybe score goals against them. And it becomes an actual game of football, not 80% possession versus 20% possession, where it's a fun. Some of these games now, you're watching them, and in the first 5 minutes of the game, you know what the score's going to be, and you know what the result's going to be.
And I would sense Dublin know, oh, okay, you're doing this, we're going to win. They must recognise the pattern very quickly. So
100%, 100%. And you've got to find a way to put them off track and just stay in the game and try and maybe nick a goal that can keep the life, the oxygen in the game.
Yeah. A brief aside, our little fallout a moment ago, no offence meant. You're clearly a bit irked sometimes when you're labelled as Jim McGuinness, 15 behind the ball, that's the extent of his tactics. You could just see there, it clearly really bothers you. I can see why, because you think about the game lots of different ways, but you're kind of, you get that, don't you? You're kind of labelled at that.
No, I do, but at the end of the day, we took 14 behind the ball in the All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin. That was like a watershed moment in many respects.
Yeah.
That's what's associated to it. With, in my time at Donegal, I tried to keep two up most of the time. I tried to, maybe if I could, rotate Michael and have him in for kickouts and bring him out on their kickout and stuff. Because you recognise that if you decide you're going to go 15 behind the ball, you're not going to score heavy. There's no way you can score heavy, because you've got to run the ball 100%. Mm. And so in order to score heavy, or score, you know, relatively heavy, you need that link player. You need people that can win the ball on the 40, offload, and then kick it again. And so if you're playing in an Ulster semi-final against Tyrone or a Monaghan, and you know exactly what they're going to bring, and they know exactly what you're going to bring, these things do happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like we were speaking about it earlier, you know, the whole way, you know, Dublin, Meath, traditionally, you know, Galway and Mayo, Cork and Kerry. It's been that way for 100 years. And that's the reality.
Yeah.
We have been sort of fighting to try and get tiny, tiny wee edges. And this is another thing about the Dublin team. All these tactics we're talking about now were brought by managers that were trying to find a different way to win the game, because they didn't have like what Dublin have in terms of exposure to players, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Dublin have adopted all them tactics now, so they're now squeezing all the same percentages as everybody else, but they've got the best players. And so their system is almost foolproof. And it's going to take something very left field, I would suggest, from Mickey Hart to try and... And that's why I think it's fascinating to see what Mickey does actually come up with.
Yeah.
Is it the same old, or is there something out there that none of us have thought of that could actually make an impact?
And so for you, again, 15 behind the ball, trying to win this game, 4 points to 3, that ship sailed.
If you think about that tactic,
yeah.
When we were implementing that tactic, the reason we implemented that tactic was... I recognise teams had to come in. So when they come in, we're going to be aggressive, and we were, because we were hungry for success. We were going to turn the ball over, and we were going to win the ball. There is no turnovers anymore. So that's why I say that's why the system's redundant.
Mm.
If you can't get pressure on the ball, then what's the point in doing that tactic?
Yeah.
And so the game has moved, and whatever worked in 2012 is certainly not going to work in 2018.
I think you also got rid of the big full forward. Hmm? You got, because like, I remember we played you up in Donegal, like, you know, in your first year, and one thing I noticed, like, you know, like, I know everybody sort of like named you defensive, but like that was the first day that I noticed it wasn't defensive, it was counter-attacking, because our full forwards, like, we had like Alan Smith and James Cavanagh, and like, beautiful footballers, but maybe wouldn't be always working back. And the next thing, you had Frank McGlynn and all of these fellas coming from corner back on your marquee forwards, and they became the attack. You know, so the next thing, like, your marquee forwards then, like, you're looking at it now, like, you can't afford to have them. because those fellas that, like, when I say they would stay in there and don't think they have to work, and, you know, and that's the one thing, like, you know, like Pat Gilroy brought to Dublin, like their forwards started to become the same workman like players that, like, they were in the rest of the pitch. And it was just the first day I noticed that, the day the full forward sitting in and said, kick it in, boys. But, like, if he stood there and let, like, Frank McGlynn or Neil McGee and any of these boys attack, like, you were giving away 3-4 points a game.
Yeah.
And that's, it was a big change. And it is now. Like, you could even see in the Ulster final this year, like, you know, like, even Declan, like, Owen Vaughan Gallagher, and bang, 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 coming off the two full forwards who were static inside. Like.
Okay.
Are Corona good at that as well? You know, and Ricey and all these guys, they sort of put that blueprint in place in many respects, cornerbacks kicking points.
I'll get one final quick prediction word from each of you. Leon, is there anything else that you're looking out for or is catching people?
I think looking at it, just for a bit of value, I think both teams will score a goal. I think if you want to beat Dublin...
Of our panel, hands up who agrees both teams will score a goal.
I'll go with it.
You're going in,
I'll be all right. I'll be back in it.
Okay.
But I just think...
I think that's possible.
Well, in fairness, Kieran and Jim have just said
yeah, but if Tyrone have any chance of beating Dublin, they've got to score.
Yeah, Galway got goals.
They can't be going there and hoping to win and score 9 points to win non-Ireland, because it just won't happen.
But it's not as if Dublin keep people from scoring goals out.
Yeah, Galway.
They just score more goals than them.
Yeah.
And I think any Dub in the audience who doesn't have a Boyle Sports account, open it up and back them at 50 to 1.
What's the odds for a red card?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it'd be that big. I'd say you'd only get probably 7 to 1, maybe 15 to 2 for a red card. Man of the match is an interesting one. The boys are talking about Kilkenny. He's 7 to 1, second favourite. But there's been quite a bit of money come lately for Jack McCaffrey, 9 to 1.
Well, he was unbelievable the last day. I mean, just Rolls Royce kind of player.
Brian Fenton is favourite, 6 to 1, to be man of the match. But I thought Dublin in the second half against Galway, that was their best performance of the year so far. They're only getting into gear. I think it'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah. Cora, right, we'll get final words, final predictions.
Yeah,
you said 6 or 7.
Yeah, I kind of see, you know, while as a neutral watching in, you'd obviously love to see someone obviously beat the Dubs, but I just think they're a level above everyone, if not two levels above everyone at the moment. But I just think, you know, they've an unreal bunch there, and they've been there. They're obviously going for 4 in a row. They've such a talented bunch, but they work really hard. They work for one another, you know. And you know, we haven't really talked about the impact that their bench maybe can make.
Yeah.
You know, when the legs are tired, Crow Park, and you know, games are now 76, 77 minutes. You know, when you look at their bench, the likes of Cormac Costello, Kevin McMinnum, Michael Dara. You know, you could name off. You know, we don't even know if Bernard Brogan will make the 26.
Yeah.
I think that'll have a part to play if Tyrone are in it at all, and tire legs are about to happen, and he sees the likes of Kevin McMinnum or Cormac Costello come on. You know, it's going to be very difficult, but yeah, I can't see 5 or 6 points for Dublin to win by at least.
Right, okay. You wonder what per Costello has to do to get a start in this world. I mean, it's just every time he comes on, he's brilliant. What is likely to happen? I mean, are you putting any faith in this talk that Mickey Hart does special things at finals, or are you fairly...
Well, to be fair to Tyrone, they were able to make the game incredibly competitive in Omagh. To be fair to them, they brought the game down to 2 points. They had sort of created pressure in the game. Stephen Cluxton kicks the ball out over the sideline. Tyrone won the ball. They get a free kick to bring the game back to a point with a minute on the clock.
Yeah.
So I think we're forgetting that. And they have proved that they can get energy and intensity defensively into the game. I think it could be maybe like a 3-point game. I think it could be more tight. I know it's a bigger pitch in Crow Park and stuff, but I think it'll be...
Did Sky make the pitch smaller at Oma? Was that ye?
No. Again, you're clapping. I don't know. I'll ring them and ask.
Do, yeah. So three, you reckon it could be a closer
game? They don't own Crow Park, so they couldn't.
No, it's a neutral venue, as we know. So you reckon 3 points?
I think Dublin by 3 points, yeah.
Okay. Leon?
Yeah, I think Tyrone plus 6 is a very good bet, but I think Dublin will win the All-Ireland. They'll make it 4 in a row. And the point about the bench has won Dublin probably the last 3 All-Irelands.
Yeah.
Because the lads who are not starting are as good, or if not better, than the lads who do start.
Yeah.
The competition for places, that's why they're on top.
Jim Gavitt doesn't call them subs. He calls them finishers. So when he's lining the guys up during the week, you're going to finish the game, you're going to finish the game, you're going to finish the game. So if this game's in the melting pot, we're putting our faith in you guys to finish the game for us. And that, I think that's good psychology. That's really good in terms of keeping your squad motivated and self-value, self-worth. And I'm going to win us the All-Ireland.
Yeah. James, final word from you?
I think Dublin will win it. I think they're a phenomenal team. I think they're what they represent Gaelic football very, very well. I think they're absolutely fantastic. So I think they'll win it by 5 or 6. I hope Tyrone continue to develop the way they're developing, that they bring absolute war to the game on Sunday, because I think that's what's needed. I think Jim was talking, they need to rattle everything they can whenever they can and see what happens, because, you know, sometimes crazy stuff happens. But for me, Dublin just too good in every department.
And what kind of margin?
I think it's a 6 or 7 pointer.
Okay. Last word to you, Ciarán.
I think it'll be closer than most people expect. I'd love to see the referee letting the game go, because I think that's a good way of disrupting the pattern of the game. If people are holding possession all the time and they know there's a more aggressive tackle allowed, they'll tend to take more chances and go into, you know, go for that ball. And players won't go looking for frees. They won't be sort of looking to fall to try and buy frees. And I think if the referee, you know, even though it goes against what, like, I would think in my own head about they should stick to the rules, but I think if he lets it open up a wee bit and lets them get into each other, I think we could have a really good game and just take away from people like sort of looking for frees or looking holding on to possession, give people a chance to disrupt the play, and then you have, like, the game starts to open up then. So I'm hoping it'll be a good game like that if the referee lets it go, but I would still... I was thinking in my head, because I do think Mickey's good at finals.
Yeah, right.
I do genuinely believe that. And like, yeah, like it, but we're on about Tyrone here. Like, and I do think that's a, like, people can't underestimate, like, the level of what competition anxiety brings to a final. Like, you know, some people, like, just blossom. Other people, like, you know, sort of get tight. And if you have a manager that can let people, like, you know, like, walk out onto that pitch and believe that they're capable of winning, that's a massive step. It's a huge step. Like, I know people don't think, like, Dublin have that, but Dublin, that's their backyard. And for these young Tyrone fellas, if they believe, you know, they mightn't be as good a team, but they have as good as some individual players. So I just, I think Mickey will do something different. I could be wrong. I could be showing a little know about football, like, Monday morning, but I think Tyrone are going to show maybe a wee bit more than people think.
Okay. Thank you. Look at you, popular with the Tyrone fans. I mean,
that must be our first ever.
my thanks to Ciarán and James and Leon and Boyle Sports for helping us out tonight and making it happen. Jim, thank you very much. We'll be reading the Irish Times on Tuesday, don't you worry. Sunday in a pennant, don't even care what they have to say about this game. Thanks to Cora, thanks to Keith Barr and Peter Canavan, thanks to Croke Park. Thanks everyone for coming. Brilliant night. Thanks so much.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.